Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. It's district tournament time across the great state of Tennessee. Over 16 of our 30 teams have already punched their tickets to next week's region tournaments. One of those teams is a mainstay in the Lady Buffaloes of Clark Range.
Well, she's just been Georgia Cove. She's the MVP defense player of the year, and then the MVP of the conference also. And, she's less than 3 points shooting. Maria herself is a player, though, and her sister Cassie, who's a point guard. And both of those were 1 and 2 in the player of the year, defense player of the year, both were finished first and second. They just been kind of sitting at the table and leading us this year, and very high intensity. Both juniors, we got 5 juniors and 3 freshmen, and they've just done an excellent job, very hungry. They want to go back to state tournament, see what we do down there, so providing great leadership for us.
The first time I talked to you this year, we talked about Cassie and Kaylee kind of getting overlooked on the state level, and, they didn't get nominated for Miss Basketball, and they're still all-state teams to turn out.
Well, they are, and I think I talked to a Tennessee sports writer. He called me, and they was on the short list. So, they had some, Greenville's got 2. One girl, an Arby girl, signed with UT, and then the other girl was supposed to be better than her. And then the girl, Coretta, has got offers already from some major parents. So there's 3 really good players. I understand that. I think Cass and Kelly's time will come next year, and they're just going to get better. We've got a good team, and hopefully gets some more people can pay too much attention to them. We've got Alexi Pierce, real good 3-point shooter, and we've got Betty Bush, has been starting since Christmas as a freshman, and we've got 2 posts, Chloe Howard and Mackenzie Pilot. It was pretty good balance most of the time, but they'll West Tennessee has had more their media stays together a little bit better. They've had more best basketballs probably than any other area, but Cassie or Kaylee won, or maybe both of them will be the finalists next year.
And Coach, you hit on a couple other girls I wanted to talk about, and Chloe Howard made the second team there for the Lady Buffaloes at Clark Range. How has she progressed as this season's gone on?
Well, she's done good. She's very athletic. She's controlled the boards for us and been a rim protector a little bit for us. Everything. She's actually young. She should be a sophomore. She's a junior, but age wise, she's young. So maturity. She's still got her best ahead of her next year. We needed to, be very consistent. She's had some great games, then some games weren't quite so good. But she's a key for us. We got to get some point inside to where they loosen up our perimeter game some. So she's a big key for us. And, I think going forward here to come tournament time here, she'll do a very solid job for us.
And then you also touched on Maddie Bush on the all-freshman team, and you talked about her coming in since Christmas, and she's really adapted well into that starting role.
Well, she has. She's very athletic. She just, gives us a little more quickness, a little bit more dribbling. And, we can go with 2 posts with Mackenzie Pye and Chloe Harrod and do some post stuff a little bit more. And then when Maddie's out there, just a little bit more quickness, a little bit more dribbling and and everything. But, we've got 6 really good players, I feel like, that have proved themselves this year against the competition we played, which is, I think, helped us. We're 25-4. Played Macon County twice. Come up short on them, but we've beat some really good AAA teams. Split with Stone, beat Blackman, Tullahoma, and, real proud of, of course, what we've done so far. But basketball is a tournament sport, and we're getting ready to play Friday night, so we're looking forward to it.
You're 25-4, 13-1 in your district, and 3 of those 4 losses were to twice to Macon and once to Stone, who's a 3A team. And like you said, you split with them. So how do you feel like your schedule regular season wise has helped prepare you, hopefully, for a tough tournament run?
Well, I think it has. We've played on nine as a good single A team, and winning over there is always a challenge. And we've done that. And then played Stone and Cumberland County and Blackman, Tullahoma. We've done this every year for years, and it's really helped us over the years because first of all, we know we can play with anybody, and then seeing the some of the teams we play, they're just bigger, faster, and stronger than us, some of the triple A's, and we have to adjust for that so we know what we need to do and everything. So, it's helped us, and we get an extra loss too sometimes, but we're okay with that.
Coach, if you had to pick an Achilles heel of the Lady Buffaloes there in Clark Range, what would it be right now?
Well, we got to have enough scoring in the paint. That always makes the game easier. We had Kara Meadows, Miss Basketball, winner a few years back. And you just threw it to her, and she's going to score, or they're going to have to double and be open outside. So, scoring in the paint makes the game a whole lot easier. And, we've done that most of the time, and there's a few games we've not done that as much as we needed to. So that's going to be important moving forward. And, of course, always, free throws and opponents is always good. And then pacing offensively, when you put a lot of girls can score, it's hard to pass the shot sometimes for a better shot. So, we've spent time talking about that also.
And, Coach, it's going to be about 10 or 11 days since you last played, and I know that's got to be really beneficial for your girls to kind of get their legs back under them. And
well, it is. We're going to stay relaxed. We've been working them actually hard and fine-tuning some stuff, like you said. We've actually had time to put in a thing or two that might help us offensively.
In segment two of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from the boys' teams in Van Buren County and Monterey. We're back for segment two of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we check in with the District 5 single A number one seed, Van Buren County Eagles.
Hardy's very young. They have gotten better as the year has gone on. Was able to get a win against Whitwell late in the year, so I'm sure they'll be chomping at the bit. But they are young, and we'll try to take advantage of that youth and inexperience early on and see if we can get a lead, early in the first quarter.
You're 57-0 district record since 2015. I mean, just completely blown away by that win streak. What has that been like for you?
Well, that was obviously started a while back by some really good players that have now graduated from the program. But it's something that the guys that are still here take a lot of pride in, and they're very aware of it. And, I think it's just it shows that every night that we've had a district game, they've been ready to go and not look past anybody.
You guys have played a really tough schedule out of conference, and I know that has had to have made you feel like you're prepared a little better for postseason play.
Well, I hope so. The other district, six, is, they're all tough. All really good, and we have taken it on the chin quite a few times this year from guys on that side of the region. So we hope that's made us tougher, given us a few battle scars that we can look back on, and that it'll help us come next week in the region tournament.
Where do you feel like you stand as a team?
Well, we come up short last couple of games of the year. Did not play well Monday night at Sail Creek. We played well for about two and a half quarters, and then struggled. But we talked yesterday about you get to this point, and everybody's got the same record when you start the postseason. So I felt like they were resilient to that and receptive to that message. We had a good practice yesterday. I feel like the guys are ready to go. I feel like they're loose and excited for the postseason and see what kind of record in the postseason they can have.
From top seed at Van Buren County to the number 2 seed in District 6 Single A, the Monterey Wildcats, who will take on the winner of Gordonsville and Trousdale County.
Just trying to stay sharp, get plenty of practice reps, and really just, you know, kind of tighten up on things we haven't been very good at consistently, so we're just trying to improve those.
What are a couple of those things that you specifically know you need to work on to have a successful run here in the postseason?
Defense and free throws. Those are things that we've been, you know, kind of focused on this week, and I'm sure everybody's probably focused on defense, but I just think that's something that we can really benefit from going into the postseason.
Are you just going to stick to your guns and what you're doing on defense? Are you trying to work on a couple wrinkles that might be able to throw someone like a Clay County off who you may see a couple more times before the season's over?
Well, in our conference, every team poses its own problems, and so we deal with those differently. But, you know, you try to deal with your fundamentals and your foundation on defense this week.
The first year you've had the double bye, have you and your staff been going to the games there in Livingston, or are you just really focused on us right now?
No, we actually went to the last two nights and watched the games. Of course, went down to support the girls on Monday night. And we went last night and watched the boys' games because, you know, we have a stake in that. And so, you know, just really just trying to get down there and, you know, get used to the atmosphere a little bit as a coach, you know, see what everybody's doing and see if they're throwing anything in differently, and trying to take any edge that we can get, even if it's something small that we get from that game. It kind of makes the trip worth it to show up there and watch them.
And speaking of an edge, is there any benefit that you get from being there live in the gym as opposed to watching the film on tape?
Well, for me, it's just, you know, just as a coach, I feel like that I'd rather have the film on the game just so I can go back and break it down and give it to the players, you know, what we want to get out of it. But when I go watch them, I'm really just trying to pick up something extra that maybe I hadn't seen. And, you know, we've seen these guys a lot throughout the season, but just always trying to find something that might benefit us. And it might be something as simple as, you know, they did this on against this look, or they did this out of a timeout. But, you know, we're always just trying to look for something that might benefit us.
Have you encouraged them to take some time and go to these games, or what's your mindset and approach with your current players?
No, I'm good with them going. I think it benefits them the same way, you know, being able to get used to the environment and see what goes on down there. That way it's not a shock. I know a couple of years ago we were fortunate, unfortunate, I guess, to not play the first night and have a time to go watch the games at the state tournament. And then the next morning, you know, of course we played. So it kind of benefited our guys at that time. And I think it does now. You get a chance to go watch other teams compete on that floor. You get to see some things, some nuances of the environment. And you know, you're not the first person in front of the line, I guess, as they would say.
You face the winner of Trousdale and Gordonsville. So are you preparing this week in practice? Have you prepared your team for both of those teams? Or are you going to wait to see the winner for that game till you really start honing in on a game plan?
Well, the game plan is to take care of ourselves first. But yeah, as we've kind of gone through this week, we've kind of went that route. But we've kind of known what we're trying to do with these guys. So yeah, we've kind of spent some time, you know, dealing with some things that I think that we'll see consistently from both teams. Kind of a, you know, kind of cross from each team that we will see. But then there's some stuff that we'll have to do differently, obviously scouting reports and things like that. But as we've looked at them, really we're just trying to make sure that we are going to be good in the situations that we're going to require us to be successful in the tournament. And as you probably already know, we just played Trousdale last week. So we've seen Trousdale recently, and of course I saw them last night. And they, you know, that game was obviously down to the wire, and both teams played tooth and nail and had opportunities on both sides to win that game. So that's kind of the way, you know, tournament play works a lot. It's, you know, you just got to win it in those moments when you have an opportunity.
In segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we visit with the White County girls who already own one district tournament win this week, as well as punching their ticket into the region tournament. Our only stop in segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, is in White County. The Warriorettes have punched their ticket to the region tournament after a win that head coach Michael Dodgen said was the first one he'd seen in weeks where he thought his team was having fun.
Well, they were happy last night, and they should be. I felt like for the first time in a couple of weeks, we actually, you know, had fun and played and did some things that we needed to do and executed some things. And just overall, we played. I was very pleased with how we played last night.
When you say, you know, the first time in a couple of weeks, you feel like this team's actually had fun, is that just kind of a product of playing a tougher schedule, of seeing a few shots go in? What do you attribute that to?
I think it's seeing a few shots go in. We've had some kids just haven't shot the ball well. You know, I think we had a group of four that was in their last two ball games was, I think they were 8-48 from the field. And then last night, they ended up, I think it was a combined from those same four kids, I think they were 10 of 14 from the field last night. So, you know, a lot of times those things, you know, they help you with your psyche a little bit. But, you know, you also got to remember that we got to come back and bring that another game. Just one game doesn't define what you need to do. We've got to come back and do it again on Thursday.
It seemed like Warren had a tough time also handling your team's versatility last night. I know Elena has been one of the players you've mentioned that, you know, she does a little bit of everything for you. Do you think last night is maybe the start of her having a big stretch of games for you?
I hope so. I mean, you're when you're in the postseason, you've got to be able to make plays. And 99% of the time in the postseason, teams that are very effective defensively are going to win a lot of games. You're not going to see a lot of times later on as you get into the, you know, districts, semis and championships and consolation games and even in your region tournaments. There's not going to be a lot of 50, 60-point wins. It's going to be, you know, 10 or below range, and it's going to be teams that play defense. And I think, you know, we had some lineups out on the floor last night that were a little different for us, just looking at some different things because, I mean, at this point, we really don't have anything to lose. We just got to go play and got to do what we do and try to get people ready to go. And Elena did have a good game last night, but, you know, we've got to continue that throughout these next couple steps.
The lineup that included having Julia, Elena, and Nia on the floor at the same time, how does their versatility and everything they do, each as players, how does that afford you or how does that afford you to play a lineup like that where and it performs well?
Well, it made us a lot longer, and that's a situation going into Thursday night that we're going to have to take a look at because of how long Stone is. You know, they're just so long, and we wanted to see what it would look like on the floor and see how, you know, comprehended offensively. And you know, I think we'll be okay. We had, you know, those three, and I think it was Gracie and Kendry on the floor, and you know, everybody in that group can score the basketball and can score it effectively. So it eliminates the fact that people can just sit on Gracie's hip or sit on Kendria's hip and keep them from getting where they need to go.
We talked a little bit about Nia last night. I didn't really understand how good of a game she had until I saw the box score and realized that she had a double-double off the bench. What part of her game from the beginning of the year to now have you seen the most improvement of?
It's just the knowledge of it. I mean, she's got to just understand the quickness of the game. The game changes so much from high school to from middle school to high school, and you know, she adjusted, but you've also got to adjust to the physicality of the game, and she's slowly but surely doing that. And she's got the mentality of just go in and do what I'm supposed to do, and that's a great mentality to have as a young kid because you know, as a freshman, you don't fear anything; you just go play. And that's a good, solid thing with her. And she's got good players around her that you know, help her and keep her from, you know, getting frustrated. And it can be frustrating, you know, when you don't get what you feel like you need to get every night. But, you know, when she stepped on the floor, she's been productive for us.
You know, you've mentioned a lot that a lot of your upperclassmen now played a lot when they were freshmen, and Nia and Elena have seen a lot of time as younger players. What do you say to these kids to kind of get this production out of them this early in their careers?
It's just from the first day. I mean, even, you know, you go back to when the twins and Julia were freshmen, you know, they either started or played a lot of minutes. You know, Gracie and Mia Marie, when they were freshmen, they started or played a lot of minutes. It's the same thing. I mean, I guess I may be different than some coaches. I mean, I'm going to put who I feel like are the best ones on the floor that are going to give us a chance to win, no matter if they're freshmen, sophomores, juniors, or seniors. You know, that's what we're all here for. And, you know, we're going to put kids in the right spots, hopefully, that we, you know, we can do the things that we need to do to win and for them to be productive and them to be successful.
How useful is both Nia and Elena as far as quickness on defense? How useful is that, especially when you're playing against a team that relies a lot on post players?
I mean, it's a catch 22 some. You know, I think Elena, we're counting on her to play the four for us. And there's a lot of times, you know, especially with Caps and Miller, they're so big and they're so versatile. And they move well with and without the ball, and then they get in positions to rebound. And sometimes it's tougher on us with the physicality of it. Just Julia that's kind of big and physical. But, you know, it's a situation where, you know, we can try some different things and see what works. And, you know, it's kind of silly to say that in February and March, but, you know, there's a lot of times you got to try different things to see what things are going to work, and you can't really work on it in practice because we don't have the ability to, you know, to kind of model what Stone has. We just have to go with it and make shift and make our adjustments. So, you know, the biggest thing for us going into Thursday is we've got to limit Stone's runs. I mean, both times we've played them, I mean, they've had major runs in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where we've got to manage, and the run can't be 18 to nothing. If anything, it needs to be 5, and then we score a basket or whatever it may be. But, you know, we've just got to limit Stone's runs.
We hope you'll join us for segment 4 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders as we chat with the York Institute boys coach and the Cookeville Cavaliers girls coach, who both of their teams are number 2 seeds in their respective districts. Welcome back to Segment 4 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. The Dragons earned a double bye after a solid regular season that saw all 5 starters on their team earn all district honors. While he sees them every day in practice, head coach Russell Taze likes that other coaches also gave them that recognition.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, when you've got a group of young men like we have, they're just great kids, and they've worked all last spring, through the summer and through the fall. They just worked hard, and like I said, just a great group of kids, and it really feels good to know that other coaches recognize the work they put in and the improvement that they made. And you know, I'm happy for our players, and it's good to know when your players work hard like that and that they get recognition. It's very satisfying for you as a coach.
You were also named the co-coach of the year. What does that mean to you?
Well, like I told Summer Players, it's a great honor that that the other coaches in the district would look at you as a coach and bestow that honor on you. I was very grateful for that. But I always look at it this way, you know, it comes down to your players. When you've got a group of kids that have worked hard for you and they've been extremely coachable and everything, you know, getting coach of the year, I just look at it and say, well, that's due to the kids I've got. That's due to the players I've got. I mean, me getting that honor basically goes back to them. And I just, I thank our players for that, for that honor of being co-coach of the year. So, you know, to me, it always comes down to your players and what kind of kids you're working with. And we got just a great group.
When you look at where this team was at the beginning of the year and where they are now, what do you think they improved in the most?
I feel like we've had a team that's of course not very deep. We're kind of shallow on the bench, coming off the bench, but you know, of our first group, I felt like we had very talented group. The thing that I think we've gotten better at as the years progressed is just learning to play together. Sometimes, you know, I think one of the negatives I see with travel ball is too many kids are there playing as individuals, you know, and they show up to play, they go home. And I felt like that we were kind of playing like a travel ball team early in the year. just a bunch of, you know, guys that were talented and, you know, skilled, but they were just playing as a group of individuals. And I think what we've done through the course of the year is just we've come together as a group, come together as a team, and we've just played better together, you know, as the season's progressed. And if I were to look at one thing, to me, that would be the big thing.
The Lady Cavaliers in Cookeville have players littered all over the all-district teams in their region, two of whom are household names in homes of Lady Cavs fans.
Oh, they've both been really solid. And, you know, Liv is a junior for me. She's started for me all 3 years that I've been here and just always has done what I've asked her to do. And she's ran the point and, you know, wasn't a point guard when she came to me. We've turned her into one, and she's done a great job. She, you know, just last week broke the three-point record at Cookeville High School with 8 threes in a game. And so she's doing it all. You know, she's defending well. She's handling the ball for us. She's running our offense, and she's shooting the ball really well. So I'm super proud of the year that she's had. And, of course, KK, you know, she's solid. She's playing really, really good right now, and she just keeps getting better and better. So she's super fun to coach. She's hilarious and fun to be around, and that makes it even better, you know, when you have a kid that can play and that you just really enjoy being around. So she's been a you know, big part of our team, and I'm super proud of her. I'm proud that both of them got all district honors. I think it's well deserved.
Jordan was named to the freshman of the year in your district as well, and I know she's your daughter, and it's hard to talk great about your kids. I played for my dad, so I know what that's like, but just what that's like seeing your daughter and her being a good player as well.
Well, I'm proud for her as her coach. You know, I've put her in some difficult spots this year, and she's responded well. And I've been really proud of the way that she's come in and taken correction from me and just really ran with it. And she's had a great, great year. But, you know, of course, as her mom, I'm beaming with pride. You know, it's pretty cool to get to be nominated for Freshman of the Year, but much less to get it. And, you know, I think the coaches in our district realize, you know, what she can do and how valuable she is to our team. And so it's been fun this year to be able to coach her, but to also, you know, kind of sit back when we get home and tell her how proud I am of her as well.
Is that something that with your daughters that you try to not talk about the X's and O's and the fundamentals of basketball when you get home, and that you're just like, hey, I'm mom now, I'm really proud of you? Or
well, they, you know, they're funny because we'll get in the car and they'll say, okay, I'm talking to you as my mom now, not my coach. And so we have those conversations. And but they're pretty smart kids. They take correction well. They ask a lot of questions. They want to know, you know, what I'm thinking in the game and where I see them and how they're doing. And you know, they take criticism well. And you know, but we're quick to tell them how proud we are of them too. And you know, we're super proud of Bailey. You know, she's a sophomore, and you know, playing behind little sister is not always easy, but she has handled it with so much maturity. And for her, she's, you know, she's just as proud of Jordan as anybody else. And so it's pretty cool to see them and their relationship. But we try our best to keep it separate, you know, to when we get home, to just talk about home stuff. But our life is basketball, so we find ourselves talking about basketball a lot.
I definitely understand that for sure. That's how it was at my house as well. In the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, the Pioneers of Warren County and the Tigers of DeKalb County both join the show. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from Coach Chris Sullins and the Warren County Pioneers, who finished the season as winners of 7 of their last 8 ball games.
Yellowstone Memorial's got a really good basketball team. Coach Capps is probably as good as anybody in the district. Has his team ready to play. There's not one or two kids you can really key on. They've got a lot of puzzle pieces that you've got to worry about. Of course, Zach Street is a young man that really had a good game against us at Warren County, and the Boyd kid, you know, he's a big, long, lanky young man in the middle of the basketball floor that you got to keep off the boards. You know, Jack Eldridge is a young man that has played a lot of basketball. You know, he started as a freshman for him when we played him 2 years ago in the district, in the region, in kind of a similar situation. So they're a basketball team that's very fundamentally sound. At their place, they just flat out they just beat us from top to bottom. That ball game was over in the first 3 or 4 minutes. But I think it's an exciting basketball game to be a part of because we all know what's on the line, and I think our kids are ready to play. We've had 2 good days of practice, and we're going to try to keep that going on for the next couple of days.
Well, Coach, it's funny you bring up that first game against Stone Memorial up there. I was actually at your practice the day before y'all played them, and the practice was not going the way you wanted it to be going. You kept running this drill. They weren't running it right. You've ran it forever and kept making them restart. You kicked them out of the gym, brought them back. But after that loss, things really turned around for the Warren County Pioneers.
It's funny you bring that up because I think we had made the comment that you know, a lot of times you kind of play as you practice, and I thought that was one of our worst practices of the year. I don't think our kids were mentally engaged, and we're up there doing a simple drill that we've done ever since we've been at Warren County, and our kids were just, I don't know, I don't want to say they weren't in it mentally, but we were just struggling at that point. And Stone's game at their place was a wake-up call for our basketball team. I told some guys earlier in the year, you know, Upperman kind of beat us pretty good at our place. And I thought we played well, but then late in the second half, we just didn't get some things accomplished. But we had a young basketball team with the Spates kid being our point guard and hadn't been around the wall, around us as much as we'd like. We're not a team that had played 60 or 70 games together. I told a guy, I said, I don't think the house is on fire. Well, let me tell you, when we left Stone Memorial that Friday night, I thought the house was on fire and the wheels were coming off and we probably need to take shelter. But we had 2 good days of practice. We kind of enforced some things we wanted to start getting done on the basketball floor as far as being physical, understanding assignments. And we just made our kids understand that it was about doing your job. And I think our kids have kind of responded to that. We went to Ray County and got a win. Then we got one at Cookeville. And you know how young high school students are. It doesn't take much to get their minds right, and it doesn't take much to get their minds wrong. And they've just been fortunate here lately. We've got their minds set where they need to be.
The Tigers of DeKalb County had 3 players earn all-district honors, and head coach John Sanders was appreciative of that fact, and their hard work was rewarded by the other coaches.
Yeah, so, you know, we had Dallas, Cook, Dakota White, 2 seniors. They both made honorable mention, which means they didn't, they didn't make first, second, or third team, but they got votes from other coaches. So, they just knowing they did good enough to get noticed by other coaches is obviously nice. And then Dallas made all defensive team, which, I thought was very deserving. He's a pretty good defender for us. He made that last year, and so he made it again this year, so I'm proud of him for that. And then, Elijah Ramos, he made the all freshman team, and he was freshman of the year. So that was, we were really proud of him. He spends a lot of time working on his basketball game, and he loves it. And he's had for him this year has been sort of up and down, just trying to get used to the speed of the game, and I think here later in the season he's finally started to adjust to it a little bit better. He's been playing really well for us.
Winning an award like that at such a young age, how much confidence should that give him?
Well, I think it gave him a lot because last night, in our game, in our first round district tournament game against Macon County, he led us. He had 23 points, went for a career high. So, he was playing really, I don't think we took him out the whole game. He played just real confident. You could just see it on him. I was really happy for him and our team, but that crossed my mind thinking about that last night. Maybe he's got this newfound confidence, from getting that award, and he was really excited when he found out, when we told him that he got that. He was just, you could almost tell it's like, hey, some hard work is paying off. So
what, in your opinion, when you look at just his game and the year he's had, what set him apart from the other freshmen in the district?
I would think maybe his ability to be able to score the basketball. He's quick and he can handle the ball pretty well. And there's some other freshmen in the district that can do that also. But I think he's probably, out of all the ones that maybe made the freshman team and the ones that I've seen play, he might be, you know, maybe one of the better scorers out of all of them. He's been able to put the ball in the hole quite a bit for us this year. And we just expect him to keep doing that.
Is this one of those moments where, you know, you look back on when he gets this award at, hopefully this is the beginning of a great career for him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I think it can be. You know, assuming he doesn't, you know, have any injuries or anything like that, you know. He works really hard. He tries to do everything we ask him to do. He's been a joy to coach. So, you know, I think he can have a really good career here at DeKalb County High School for us. And definitely look forward to seeing what the future holds for him.
And that's it for this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com for results on all your favorite teams from the Upper Cumberland. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.